What's up, everybody? I'm to hear more.
Patrick Cloud.
Welcome back to another episode of Damn Internet. You're scary. With the episode after the holidays, and my first question is, have you hailed your nephew?
Oh, I have.
Yes.
It happened on Thanksgiving, and yes, it wasn't bad. I was like, okay, for sure. Now I'm just going to wait till Christmas. It'll be like a holiday thing.
This baby was born for a whole month and change before you held 2 months?
About 2 months, yeah, October 1st.
Before you held this child?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It wasn't that bad, though. I feel like if you think about my reasoning, it's pretty noble. Because no one has baby training like that unless you've had kids. So, like, for someone to just be like, hey, I trust you with, you know, my new child. And somebody's just like, yeah, for sure. You know, I was approaching it tactically. I asked questions. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to drop it. You know, him. Okay. Excuse me.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I have to stop calling babies it.
You don't have to, but I understand the sentiments. But I'm sure you've held other delicate things before. You've held glasses, champagne flutes, you've held phones, you've held joysticks.
I broke all of those examples, though. Every example I have, I've broken flutes, I've broken glasses, I've broken phones. So it's just about limiting the risk.
That's fair. How was the Thanksgiving?
It was great. It was really, really good. It was, I guess, you know, since it was my nephew's first Thanksgiving, it was very, very intimate. Mm. We had it's still crazy to say, my brother's baby mama. she was there, Mel. And yeah, it was really chill. We were just chopping it up, playing games, getting drunk, eating way. I ate way too much.
Did you?
I threw up. Yep.
You threw up?
I ate. Yep.
You got food wasted.
I got food wasted. Yep, that is true.
You're a slut.
It was bad, but it was so good. What about you?
I did two Friendsgivings, one the day before and then one after. Both were fire, both were great, amazing food. I stopped eating until I get full. Like, I stopped doing that. And so I just eat until I'm satisfied. And, like if I feel like I can go back and get another plate, that's when I know I'm done. Like, anything other than that, you're gonna get slumped, bro. Like, I've had years of practice.
You said you feel like you could get another plate.
When I feel like I can get another plate, that's when I don't. That's when I know I need to be done because the food hasn't settled in yet. It's just got there. It's just looking around. They ain't took his shoes off. It still got his jacket on. All right, and when that food gets settled, and then you put more food on top of that, then that food gets settled. You like that? That's when you ready to die. That's food wasting. That's when you throw up. So, you know, I'm not doing that no more. I've learned my lesson from it. And we out of there. Yeah, Erica Sorda, eating till you throw it up is wild business. Pat's a wild boy for that one.
I was just yanked out of this place. I was just like, yo.
I saw it and I was just like, okay. I just kept talking.
It was in the middle of a good joke and everything. All right. Were you big on leftovers this year?
I actually didn't have any. We didn't take any food with us from either one of the Friendsgivings, and we didn't really make anything. Farron made, for the first time ever, corn succotash. Corn succotash. It is an assortment of corn. Red bell pepper,
is real
lima beans, and some other stuff, but it's all mixed together. I don't know. It's not like a stew. It's just like it's corn succotash, bro. I thought
was a made up thing. That what's his name? Sylvester Stallone. Sylvester the cat. Succotash. Yeah. Oh, it's like a veggie dish.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't even know this was real. It was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good.
Have you ever had succotash, though?
No, absolutely. I would have avoided it with my life.
Says it includes corn, lima beans, bell peppers, and onions. And you just eat it like a bowl, like a rice bowl?
You get it like a side. You put it on a plate like you would mac and cheese. It's just a side. But it was good. It was better than I expected. I had to try it because Farron cooked it. I was so skeptical.
You had to dip your toes in it first?
Like, girl, I got the smallest spoonful initially. I tried it, but it ain't bad. It really tasted grilled peppers. I tasted the peppers. I was like, okay, cool. It's not overbearing, but it's still present. It was good. Then I got a regular spoonful, but I was still like, all right, we're going to see what this do to my stomach. It's a weird combination to have together. What really threw me off was the lima beans. Lima beans was like...
I don't think I've ever had lima beans.
They say that you can switch the lima beans out with... what is it? Edamame, I think. Yeah, you can switch some.
Do those two things like do those taste the same? Edamame and lima beans.
I think it would have been a different flavor with the edamame, but it wouldn't have been that different. Edamame has a very, unless it's like the garlic edamame, it has a kind of subtle taste to me, just a little different.
I just have to clear this up. Erica Sorta's in the Patreon chat. I didn't eat till I threw up. That sounds really gluttonous. It's not like I was like eating. I ate too much. Later on, I threw up.
He's lying. I saw the pictures. Pat had gravy. People were taking gravy shots out of Pat's stomach. He was eating with a button up on. The button up was unbuttoned. His dressing all in his chest hair. It was a wild place. It was wild business, guys.
Very I woke up business. Several days later.
That's a wild time. Thanksgiving, once you get to a certain age, and I'm at the point now, I was like, man, it's just a lot of food. And then back to back, Christmas come right up too. Christmas really don't take no break. Christmas come right up, and it's the same meal right back. It's like, that's why we started doing like ribs and meatloaf and stuff for the holidays.
Pushing it up.
Yeah, man, it gets too much. It's only so much dressing you're supposed to have throughout the year. They have dressing maybe three times. Anything outside of that, you're a serial killer, in my opinion.
I was kind of the same way. I didn't have a lot of leftovers, and I think that's the move. Because growing up, we would have so many leftovers that I would just be eating the same thing for like what seemed like days. Mm-hmm. And this is like one of the first time I didn't really have any leftovers. I basically, like, after Thanksgiving, I went right back to ordering food. And then it's almost like now I'm looking forward to Christmas because it's not like I, like, ran that meal to the ground. So even if it is a similar meal, I'll be good.
Yeah. I think I got everything I wanted to. I got that mac and cheese, got some dressing, got the turkey, got some ham. I think I had everything I wanted to. So I'm not really looking forward to Christmas trying something that I didn't get. Only thing I didn't get was like what I said, like the ribs and the meatloaf. And we might just order from Boston Market and just do that.
I haven't been to Boston Market in a minute.
Man, we've had our Thanksgiving provided by Boston Market a couple times. So we was like, we don't feel like going to no store. We ain't cooking and all that, man. Out of here.
That's more how I grew up. There was like a couple times where like it was like home cooked and everything, but for the most part, we just avoided the hassle. Because to go through all of that and then have people complain about it anyway that's why I always like take my hat off to the big mamas, the grandmas, the aunties that cook for Thanksgiving, because they basically, even if it's not amazing, if they cook all that day and then people come over and they're just like, this stuffing ain't it. I don't think I could cook again, period.
Bro, the crazy part is, like, Sunday dinners is still a thing. I don't think it's like, it's not as big everywhere else, but like certain places in the South, Sunday dinner can be as big as Thanksgiving dinner. There are people who still be cooking like that. Just a regular Sunday, you know, they're going to have the greens, they might have some stuffing.
Damn.
Or some dressing, rather. Mac and cheese, fried catfish, fried chicken. It's just like, nigga, that's a lot to start your week off.
Every Sunday.
That's heavy. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I guess it makes sense why people are just generally like bigger in the South too. Because I remember when we were at when we were in Atlanta, they were saying that at the HBCUs they had like fish fries every Friday.
Yeah.
And just like something else every Wednesday, like really, really heavy, rich meals like every week, as opposed to kind of like holidays, which I feel like that's when I do it.
I did the fish fry at McDonald's for like 2 straight when they had the fish fillet on sale.
That's not a fish fry.
Hmm?
That's not a fish fry. That's just eating a fish fillet on a Friday.
I don't see the difference.
Like I'm going down to the fish fry at McDonald's. People are like, what the hell?
Fish fries come with fries and fish, sometimes pickles. That's my fish fillet. I just got the to-go version.
Fish fillet do be hitting, though. I'm not even going
to see, people coming out the woodworks. People coming out the woodwork. Okay, let's call it. Pat, your family, do they cook dressing or stuffing? This is going to tell me a lot about who you are as a person. Dressing,
I mean,
is with cornbread.
Yeah.
And then they take the juice from the turkey after the turkey's been cooking. If you don't have that, you can use stock. But most people, like when they really be cooking, they take the juice from the turkey, pour it in the mixed up cornbread, mix it around, and add the other ingredients. And they can sometimes cook it alone, or they'll cook it in a pan with the turkey, right? Or stuffing.
Stuffing
is in the rib box, the stovetop.
Right.
What did you have growing up?
I always did dressing, but
okay. It
was called both.
Yeah.
Like how you prepared it.
But I need to know what you're rocking with. The stovetop is, I feel like, it's appropriating the culture. Okay. That was white people's way of putting it together real quick, didn't want to put it into work. They don't have slaves to do the cooking for them no more. They don't feel like doing it themselves, so they came up with stovetop. Stovetop is appropriation to the culture of dressings. This is just my opinion, okay?
To be honest, I've had stovetop before, and I didn't mind it. I don't think it's terrible. I don't think it's terrible. I've never had it on Thanksgiving.
But you are a moon cricket, porch monkey-ass coon. You're selling out the culture. Trying to please the white man sitting on his lap. I can't believe you, man.
I know what it tastes like, and it's not bad. I've never had it with soul food or Thanksgiving food, but I have had dressing that was called stuffing.
Uh-huh.
Like I've had it prepared like dressing, and everybody that was around me called it stuffing 1 year or dressing. Ooh. Like what it's called in my family has always been like both, but we've always had dressing on Thanksgiving. But I don't remember when I had stovetop. I think I had it when I was a kid. And I feel like it tastes like croutons.
Yeah, you said you had it and it wasn't with soul food. That lets you know right there you was committing a crime. Okay? Because dress is only supposed to be with soul food. Nobody out here eating.
But this was stuffing. Stuffing.
Stuffing is only supposed to be with soul food. Okay, you know you're not eating. Goddamn me, Taco Bell with some stuffing. Okay, you don't mix taco night with stuffing. Stuffing and dressing should only come out during soul food.
So wait, what do white people eat stovetop with? Anything. What's on the box with it?
Green bean casserole, unseasoned pork chops, smoked bear leg per your video.
Oh wow. You want to hear what's on the stovetop box? It's stuffing, peas and carrots, and slices of turkey. That makes sense to me. That makes sense.
That sounds like a Thanksgiving dinner. That sounds like a Thanksgiving dinner.
Peas and carrots?
I mean, is that inside of it? You saying that peas and carrots?
That was a side. Look at the one that says sage or cornbread. You see how on the side of it, it's peas and carrots. That's nasty work. Peas and carrots, then the stuffing, then it looked like a TV dinner, honestly. But I'm assuming that's how most people eat stovetop.
Hey, man, that's just That's just college dressing. And be done.
MTM said it's bread casserole. I think so. I feel like it kind of tastes like croutons.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely get that. You need that cast iron skillet with that real cornbread. You know what I'm saying? Then mix that cornbread up. That's what you need right there. That's what you need. Somebody in here has said her family does both. I'm looking for that comment right there. Somebody chicken. Said their family does stuffing and dressing for the holidays. And I just want to know who got the time. Okay? Who got the counter space? Okay, who got the stovetop space? Why y'all doing two of the same, almost same items? One moonlighting as the other one. That's like having The Rock and his stunt double at your house. You don't need both of them. Okay, you either can afford The Rock or you can't.
The Rock was such a random example of that. All right, Tiff said stovetop ain't that bad. Okay.
Man, that's one person.
I wonder how universal that is.
I'm not doing it. I'm sticking to what I know, man. I'm sticking with the dressing, man. Give me dressing and give me my cranberry sauce in a can. If I ain't got ridges on that cranberry sauce, I don't know how much to cut. Okay, I don't want that berry cranberry ketchup shit that people be trying to bring
when they mix it up and put it in a bowl. You won't eat it like that?
No, I don't want that shit, man. I need the ridges, baby. I need the ridges. The ridges let me know. I know how many ridges I need to justify how much dressing I got. The ridge will cover up one amount of the half of the cornbread. I mean, not the cornbread, but the dressing. And then if I got something left, I need another ridge, right? If I'm just doing that with the spoon, nah, I need a full circle to know what I'm dealing with. Full circle.
That had to grow on me. Growing up, those circles were nasty as hell. But
what?
Yeah, I got into cranberry like in my teenage years, but I don't know. I feel like I don't see the circles anymore. I just see it like almost like a jam.
Nah, man. When I went to the second Friendsgiving, they had me a can because they saw my video about it. They had me a can of the cranberry sauce waiting for me.
Oh, wow.
The crazy part is as I've got older, my taste buds have matured. I actually prefer gravy over anything. But if I want some cranberry sauce, it better be out of a goddamn can. But yeah,
so wait, you mixing gravy with everything that you would mix the cranberry sauce with?
Well, it's just the dressing. I just put the gravy on the dressing instead of cranberry sauce on the dressing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I do that too.
Yeah.
I'm slow though, because I found out this year that you're supposed to put the cranberry sauce and the dressing in the same bite. I was always eating them separate. Yeah.
That's too much sweet and savory for me.
You don't do that?
No, it's like grits. You either gonna have savory grits or you're gonna have sweet grits. But you don't mix the two. You don't have sweet grits with sauteed shrimp.
Oh, that's people don't do that. I thought everybody did that. I thought that was the point of cranberry sauce. Because then I was like, oh, okay, I get it. But
you do the cranberry sauce with the gravy on your dressing.
No gravy. Just like a spoonful of cranberry sauce and then a spoonful of dressing on the same spoon. And then.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly how you do it. I thought you said you put the cranberry sauce and the gravy on your dressing.
No.
I was like, what else you throwing in this party? Some bananas, nigga? What kind of person are you?
Damn, I didn't have any banana pudding. I didn't actually have any sweets or anything this Thanksgiving. Like, it was no pie, no.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was all just straight. You said that's why I threw up? That's funny. What's going on for the Christmas holidays? You in town? You out here?
I think I am. I don't think we're doing Christmas though. I mean, we might, you know, go over some people's house and that's about it. But we ain't doing no gifts right now, man. We honestly don't need anything. And I'm not really big on trees. I've become a Grinch to a certain degree. And it's like, bro, we spend this money on this tree that's gonna die. We can buy a tree, right, and then keep that, but then that's taking up valuable storage space, right? And typically, we had got to the point where we were like taking vacations or we would go out of town during the holidays. So it's like you spend all this money on this tree, and you're not even there to enjoy it on the day right. that you're supposed to be celebrating. So I was like, man, I'm not. If we get a little tree, it's going to be on the counter. That shit going to be on the kitchen counter.
Grinch.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not. I'll be the Grinch. I definitely will be that. I'm not. What for what? What do you need for Christmas? And fans always like, it's not about what you need and all of that for Christmas and your birthday. It's about what you want. It's like, I don't really want nothing. Only thing I want to do is just get out of debt. That's it. So unless somebody gonna drop a check on me for $150K, everything else is like, you know, I don't want to seem unappreciative. So just don't give me nothing.
That's true. I feel like the holidays are kind of, and I feel like, you know, it's talked about every year how it's kind of just extra. It's like people kind of take the materialistic shit too serious just for it to be that time of the year, as opposed, you know, to just sticking to what you are, what's really important. So
exactly.
I think that's a chill way to look at it. I'm just like, I don't know. I think that, for me, it's not like about gifts as much as it is like experiences. Because living in LA for so long and now finally being able to like travel and go places, I feel like I see that the reason why everybody loves LA so much is because it's the same all year. Mm-hmm. But it's like, if you grew up in that same, it's cool to see like, oh, what's Christmas like in this city? What's Christmas like in this state? So that's kind of like my more of my vibe this year is kind of just like seeing a different Christmas as opposed to just gifts.
So that means you're going to another cabin in the woods.
Something like
Panama. You're going to St. Lucia. Where you going, Pat? Huh?
I've just decided yet. I've been screenshotting a bunch of places, but I don't know. Maybe somewhere random, like Oregon.
That would be random. That's, you are dead set on going places black people ain't really welcome.
The names of them, I've never even heard of them. Like Lilydale,
Oregon?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when niggas get killed for sure.
Noshes?
Oh, yeah, they definitely steal
straight. Sandpoint, Mount Shasta. Yeah, this list is all over the place.
I mean, that's a great idea. It's a great idea. I still want to do the whole cabin in the woods thing around winter, you know, something where it actually has snow, but they got an outside jacuzzi so you can like be sipping hot chocolate or beer in a jacuzzi, get the hot tub, the heat from that, and then the cool brisk air, like that shit, I think it would still be dope. So I would do that.
You should go to what is it? Fairbanks?
Alaska?
Fairbanks, yep.
Hell no, nah, boy, I ain't going up there. My sister stayed in Alaska for like 3 years. I never visited her once.
But if you get a cabin in the woods, you'll get the snow. And if you go at the right time, you can. That's where the northern lights are. So you could just be in the jacuzzi. Sky's all green and shit.
Yeah. Bye. Nah, I don't know, man. I don't know. There's a lot of hype around all of that type of stuff. I feel like I can go to, what's the shit in California? Big Bear?
Oh, that's not the same.
Yeah, it ain't the same, but I mean, you know, I ain't got to. Yeah, I don't know. I'll think about it. Because Big Bear ain't for it all. We did the cabin thing in Big Bear, me and Farron. Only thing was missing was the jacuzzi. So you just got to find something with a jacuzzi. But, I mean, that was cool enough for me. I was A-OK with that. But the presents, I'm done with that, man. And then it's just the hustle and bustle of trying to find unique gifts. Now, luckily, Uncommon Goods has taken a lot of that stress out of it, okay? Because when you shop in Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses with fine products that are often made in small batches. So, you know, you can expect the best quality, high quality, they're often handmade and are made in the USA. So they have some of the most meaningful gifts that you can find anywhere on the net. And I love the fact that they got it all in one place. Sometimes you'll find a website, they got a couple cool things on it. Everything on Uncommon Goods is dope. Like, you'll end up spending way too much money because you're like, this for this person, this for this person, but I got to get me something. What I look like buying gifts for all these folks, now get me something. I told y'all a couple weeks ago, I got Farron the bathtub tray. It sucks us to the side of the tub, and then the tray swings around so she can have a glass of wine. She has an iPad and a small little plate for some treats because she be eating in the tub. You know, little olives, little chocolates. You know, that's her thing. Then I also got this Bluetooth printer, which prints out pictures in black and white. And it's super dope, man. It's just stuff. I mean, we really don't be printing out pictures no more. That's why I got that, because when's the last time you could say you took a camera to Walgreens or somewhere to get it developed? Walgreens doesn't even develop in store anymore. They send it out. I think the best thing to do is go to Costco, but I don't have to do any of that because I got the Bluetooth printer and I got it from Uncommon Goods. All right. With every purchase that you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $2.5 million today. So they're really putting their money where their mouth is. Right now, we're giving out a dope deal to get 15% off your next gift. Go to uncommongoods.com/DIYS. That's uncommongoods.com/DIYS for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer, Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. Another dope thing about Uncommon Goods before we get out of here is that they make it really easy to shop. They have all the gifts separated by price points, like 0 to 50, 50 to 100, 150 to 200, or something like that. And they also have it separated by who the person is. So if it's your dad, brother, family member, boyfriend, or husband, and the same thing with the ladies. You got mom, sister, girlfriend, wife, all of that. So you have so many layers to choose from when it comes to shopping and make it super simple. Just check it out. Go on the website and you'll be like, I ain't getting nothing. You'll be like, oh, I'm all right. I'm going to go ahead and get a couple things. I promise you. Check it out. Check it out.
Satan Club.
You say what now?
Satan Club.
Okay.
What comes to mind when you think of a Satan Club?
Niggas is in red and black. You know what I'm saying? A couple people walk around with some horns on. A lot of upside down triangles and goat heads. That's kind of where I'm landing at right there.
Did you picture in your head any kids there?
But of course, it's ran by kids. They are the devil. It's ran by two-year-olds.
That's one thing I never really associated with people who like Satan. I never thought there was like a fan base of kids. Apparently, there is. There was just a lawsuit in Pennsylvania. So the Pennsylvania school district just permitted an after-school Satan Club. They just settled. The school district just settled with the Satanic Temple. Because they had a lawsuit accusing the Pennsylvania district of discriminating against students for denying an after-school Satan Club access to a school building. There was already a Satan Club, and they were denied access to the school building, and they were saying that's discrimination. So there was a lawsuit, and now it's allowed. They settled, paying $200,000 in attorney fees. And they granted the Satanic Temple and its after-school Satan Club equal access to school facilities. The group aims to establish clubs in response to existing religious groups and on campus without endorsing religion in public schools. The organization said the after-school Satan Clubs are aimed at providing a fun, intellectually stimulating, and proselytizing alternative to current religious after school clubs. I've never seen that word before in my life. Jesus Christ, that word is a nightmare.
Hey, I bet the girls in that club freak as hell though, boy.
Freaky as hell.
That's the crazy. Girls in that club freak as hell, boy.
You think that's why some dudes are in it? Like, they're
hell,
like,
oh, hell yeah. Yeah. And this little emo goth chick, man, she real chill. She's a cheap date. She don't want to do nothing but hang out and drink blood all day.
Oh, that's a different type of freak.
Oh, damn. Man. Now wait, was this a middle school or elementary school?
It says the Lehigh Valley School District. It doesn't say.
Yeah, that's wild either way. That's
it wild. Just keeps saying school. That's a fun, intellectually stimulating environment is pretty wild. Satan Club. Did you even like grow up knowing any Satanists? Like, I knew they existed, but I didn't know any kids. I didn't know any parents. I didn't really.
Yeah, they moved very covertly. They didn't really advertise it much. I mean, we assumed. we just associated people who liked heavy rock with Satanism. Like,
yeah,
was screaming to the mic, and you know, sometimes their lyrics or their artwork, you know, had that heavy undertone of Satan lovers and worshipers and things like that. So we just assumed. We associated them with that. It was like, yeah, I going over there with that devil music. But the church automatically assumed rap music was devil music. Like anything with Bone Thugs and Harmony, they said Bone Thugs and Harmony had Satanists pray over the albums to capture more souls. And if you played it backwards, it had a message from the devil. It was like, first of all,
I was all in.
This is in the time of the cassette tapes and CDs are coming out. Fam, who the fuck can play it backwards? How would I even know that? Cassette tapes, when I was buying radio boxes, yeah, but you can't play it backwards. Rewind just takes it back. It doesn't play it backwards.
Oh, you're right. Damn, I never questioned that.
I was just like, who are the people that they're concerned that's playing music backwards? I right now to this day would not know how somebody was like, take this album and play it backwards and tell me what you think. I wouldn't know what the fuck to do. I'm like, how do I play this back? I really would be stuck. Okay, I'm like, okay, and I record it on my phone and then maybe just drag my finger back, like I do a voice note and just drag it back. I would not know how to play something backwards. If you said manually on a record player is all I can think of. Exactly. Exactly. I'll be damned if I'm gonna buy an album just to try to listen to it backwards while I manually spin the record. Let me tell you what I ain't finna do. You know how many times I could jack off in that amount of time that I'm trying to do that? Why would I do it? And then after I jack off, I'm sleeping. I'm going to sleep. I'm not finna do that.
I have a lot of people to call now because that is crazy. You know how I was for a long time in high school, I was very subscribed to that. Like the whole backwards devil, like it was so crazy. They'd be like, look, listen to this song from the Beatles, and it would be like, it would kind of sound like something. I'd be like, oh, that's so spooky. I was like super into those conspiracies, and now that's true. Like, why, who the hell could play it backward?
Exactly.
I was finding it out with the technology that you had to have had back then.
I have, bro. MTM say you can play stuff backwards on YouTube. Yeah, but you okay. I feel like the stuff that you can play backwards on YouTube is stuff that people have uploaded backwards, right? Can you find something on YouTube to play backwards and then it gives you that option? Because all I've seen is skip, forward, rewind, and like
Twitter. Oh, no, they had to doctor it up. They had to wait. How do you play a cassette in reverse? Fast forward the reel to the end and take off the loaded take spool and flip it over, then swap the spools over, and now you'll be listening to the tape backwards.
Hippie, let me tell you something.
That sounds like surgery.
Yeah, that's worse than a game of Operation, because all it takes is one little piece of that tape getting mixed up. Like if it comes out and you got to try to wheel it back up and now it's bent at one part or it breaks, you got to put some tape. Man, listen, I've had my fair share of tape mishaps. I have never gone back to cassettes. I know Urban Outfitters and a couple other stores are trying to get it back popping for
really
nostalgia reason. Yeah, they selling cassettes. Man, who the fuck? Who the fuck? Okay, now there's some car collectors who like to keep their car very stock, and those cars sometimes have cassette players, and they don't want to switch it out. Maybe then. But the average person, most cars nowadays don't even come with CD players. It's right. All streaming. So you got the radio and you got streaming. I'm not going to go looking for no cassette player, child. Okay.
I can't believe that was a thing.
Yeah.
Hold. Wait, did they even have, if you had a cassette album,
mm-hmm.
was there track separation?
No, the song went off, it was quiet, and then the next song came on. It had a song list, so you know what stuff was.
Oh, so you had to basically like fast forward, like if your favorite song was track 9, you had to damn, I didn't know that.
Yes.
So yes. So that's why everybody likes CDs, because they were able to separate the music?
Yes. Yes, you could just skip to the next song, you have to do that, all of that. It's like, cassettes were like VHSs. That's why when you were renting VHSs, they'd be like, please be kind and please rewind, because when you took it out, you took it back to the store, when they returned it, the store is not rewinding it most times. They might, but it takes time out of their day. So initially, they would have you make sure you rewind it, right? And then they came out with those things that, like, they were shaped like cars sometimes. You put the VHS in there, and that would rewind it for you, so it didn't take any time out of you stopping in between movies. They had the little thing just so you can rewind videos, bro. Listen, we were living in the dark ages with technology back then.
Damn, that's crazy. No, I mean, that makes sense for a VHS, because I mean, a VHS is just a video cassette, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that makes so much sense, because then like CDs, the whole point is like it has like the laser grooves.
Yes.
Of a thing.
Well, here's the thing with CDs. So like, niggas telling the age right there. I love music, bro. So like, I was one of those kids where I was always on my bike. But I love my music. So I had my boom box. My mom had a little luggage thing, or it was really like just like a little cart that folded up. But it was just a handle, and then it part folded out. So it looked like an L. I took that, took some bungees, fixed it to the front of my bike, took a pillow, took two bungees, fixed that to the bottom of the L part, took the boom box, set it on the pillow, and then fixed it around the pillow and fixed it to the handlebars in the back of the L part of that cart to try and stabilize it as much as possible. Because CDs were great in cars and, you know, while you're walking sometimes. But when you're trying to ride a bike with a boombox and you hit one little bump, I mean, it don't take much. So I had the pillow and everything. Damn. And then the other thing is that the radio I had wasn't huge, but you still needed 6 C batteries. So the
C
battery time, 6. I would get maybe 6 to 8 hours on 6 of those batteries.
Damn.
And that's if they was new. Bro, and batteries weren't cheap for a kid that didn't have a job back in the day, bro. I was wild.
So wait, you fashioned it onto the front of the bike or the back?
Front of the bike, on the handlebars.
Okay.
And it was crazy, like, because it was, but now that I think about it, it's like, I remember hearing the music, but it wasn't as loud because the speakers are facing forward. So people would hear me, but I was like, the music wasn't super loud to me because I'm not even facing the sound of the front.
Oh, you were just riding around playing for other people.
I wanted a car very early, bro. And this was the closest thing to having a car.
What age was this?
Bro, I had to be like 11, 12.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Just blast. Was it like, what kind of music was it? Okay.
The first CD I ever bought was Tupac, All Eyes on Me. I bought it as a cassette first, and then I bought CD player. I mean, the CD of it. After that, I bought Spice One. I bought Bone. Yeah, Bone, about the Crossroads album, East 1999. That one was crazy because that was like the first double disc outside of the Tupac All Eyes on Me. And then Biggie had a double disc too. But yeah, the Fugees album, I was rocking with the Fugees album. The Score, that one. Biggie's first album. Yeah, I had a couple of them.
That's tight. I liked when music was like physical. That's why I have so many like records at my house. It's just like, it seemed like it was more fun when music dropped back then. Uh-huh. Like you're even saying like, yes, it's a double dish, more music. But now there's just so much damn music, like just on one of these DSPs like Spotify, like no one is like has a lack of music right now.
Right. I just found this French rapper and he go kind of crazy with it. I don't know if he's a rapper or a singer. It's kind of hard to get the cadence because I don't understand the language. I don't know how fast he's singing. I'm gonna send it to you. It's pretty dope though.
What's his name?
I want to say Yame. He's like missing his two front teeth. He got the Colors performance. That's pretty dope. Just let you this one right here. Yeah, that's gonna go hard on. Yeah, really tight. That beat go hard when he do that right there on that joint right there. I was like, yeah, I rock with this. Who said that? Young Deuces. We did the cans, we did a bottle and a tire too, and then we did the cards too. Now the can
hands in the bike.
Yeah, so you would put the can, you like squish the can a little bit, and then you jam it in between the frame and the back tire. So when the tire is going, it's like, because it's hitting the grooves on the tire.
Oh.
The only thing with that is like, it could also mess up the tire, right?
Right, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, but we do the same thing with bottles too. The only thing is that it made it more difficult to ride the bikes with the bottle right there. Because you like riding at 10 speed on the highest gear, the toughest gear. We did the cards too. We did the cards on the frame, tape to the frame, so it's hitting the spokes hit it every time.
That's the only one that makes sense to me, the card, because it bends.
Yeah, but you have to reinforce the card because it bends and it breaks. So you put the card on there, but you reinforce it with like some aluminum foil and some plastic, and then you tape it to it.
Tiffany was doing this with pine cones? What the? Was I the only one who was okay with my bike sound?
I ain't never heard of pine cones. I don't know where Tiffany lived. They did with pine cones.
Her bike was made of wood too.
Let me find out. You stayed. Your uncle was Smokey the Bear.
Pine cones on the wheels. She was an elf. Elfish child.
That's different.
He said she's from Big Bear. That's funny as hell. Yo, I saw this crazy story. Okay. Let's not be shocked. You gonna like this one. This is kind of wild. You're a true crime fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is wild. This is the headline. A Korean true crime fan just got sentenced to life in prison because she murdered someone out of curiosity. Huge fan. So basically, I always thought it was like how we talk about it. Watching true crime makes you like, it's almost like you're interested in like how that, like the crime is solved, how forensics works, like how you could get away with it. But true crime made her an actual murderer. She was like, I wonder what it feels like to kill like that. And she just got hit with that life. This happened in South Korea. Jung Yu Jung.
Wait a minute. Jung let her intrusive thoughts win.
Yeah.
I mean, we all crazy. Have thought about that. We're like driving. Like, I'll drive off the cliff right now. Or looking over a banister. Like, I'll jump right now. Like, you have those intrusive thoughts, but like, the regular person just mute step, like, all right, I'm wild, right? Let me step back. She just was like, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to kill somebody.
I wonder what episode did it.
But like, do you realize what it takes to kill a person? Like, you have to figure out who the person is, or if it's going to be a random person, when you're going to do it, what time of day, where you're going to do it, what you're going to have on to make sure you get away, and what your weapon of choice is. Like, you're going to kill this person with a blunt object, stab them, you're going to shoot them, you're going to poison them. She put all of that she let her intrusive thoughts get in the express lane and just drive all day long.
And she didn't even, like, do it a newbie person's way, like shooting them or something like that. It says she stabbed a 26-year-old over 100 times in the victim's home. 100.
And see, that's what cops be like. stabbing is a crime of passion.
Not anymore. Because
to get up that close to somebody to stab them is, and then to do it that many times is like, what happened? Tell us what happened. Why 100 times?
Like, it seems like they're in a relationship.
How a person was stabbed 100 times, because I feel like if you're just doing this, at some point you would hit the same hole just by like probability, right? So like, unless he had 100 pricks in his chest, how do you count? You know what? Fuck it. Maybe it's a question for ME. There's no probability. You got.
Are you saying they count the stabs? I guess they would, huh?
That's the only way to know. Maybe because some of them are longer than the other, they figured that that's where one went in and came out.
Yeah, it's probably, even if you stab in the same area, you probably can't get the same slit in. That's a funny question.
I just got questions.
Like, do you flip them over and then do the other side?
you season it a piece of chicken breast? What do you do?
Because you said, like, you might run out of places and be like, all right.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I really have a questions for you. I have a lot of questions for MB, but, you know, maybe we'll find one and get them on the show, because I do have questions.
My question is, what show did it? You know, I want to see this shit. That's a hell of a recommendation. What show was you watching? Which
killer show next door? The Killer Within?
She really like put it to practice, and that's crazy. Like, she didn't just, I mean, it sounds like she could have killed more than one person. What if that wasn't even her first time?
Yeah, that's just what she told the cops.
That's crazy. And if you look at her, it don't look like she got it in her.
Yeah, those be the freakiest or the craziest.
Those be the ones that got it in them, though.
She take the glasses off and she gets the business, baby.
That's insane.
It's hard to kill somebody now, I would imagine, with so much forensic
and cameras.
And cameras. Like in London, them shits is everywhere, bro. Mm-hmm. They are everywhere. So it's like, if you kill somebody knowing that now, you really wanted that person to be unalive.
Right. Because there have been like people who were caught by the target cameras, or just not even like people like wait, like looking to catch a robber or a murderer, just cameras. They're just out there. And I feel like Ring definitely saved that, because I didn't know a lot of people who had home surveillance unless they were like balling. But now you got Rings in like apartment buildings and stuff. Like, it's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Let that nigga have it. Just don't fuck with him no more. It is not worth it, man.
It does make me a little nervous about the stuff that I watch, though, because it's like a part of me wants to believe like, oh, she was always a murderer. Maybe she always had these feelings. Maybe that's why she watched true crime. Mm-hmm. And now she's saying like, oh, out of curiosity. But what if she was just started watching it and then got interested? Like how if you start watching basketball, you might start playing. And what if that just shows that the shit that you consume actually affects your brain?
I mean, it could, but again, I'd say normal people who I would say 8 out of 10 human beings are going to hear those intrusive thoughts and not let them win. You think about, even if you go further than some, you think about everything it's going to take. It's like, bro, it's like, I thought about it in length. I'm like, how would I do it, right? Wouldn't do it in my own place. Too much forensics to get distributed all over the place. So I would want to do it somewhere where it's not attached to me in any way, form, or fashion. I still would want it to be clean. So I got to go get the plastic, right? And if you want to do it right, then the best thing to do is separate the body. So now you got to go get appliances, right? Now you at Home Depot buying a saw that can go through bone, right? Which, yeah, people do that every day. Right? You got to buy the plastic. You're going to have to buy plastic for the person and plastic for your car. Or you're going to have to buy buckets to move the dismembered parts throughout wherever you're putting them at. You want to separate them if you're not going to burn them. If you're going to burn them, you still got to dig through or pull the teeth out before you do that, because that's not going to burn. All right? Best thing to do is just don't do it unless you got the time to actually cut the fingertips and the toenails out and pull the teeth out so the person is absolutely unrecognizable. But what do I know? you know, what do I know? You know?
You really have thought about this. God damn. I know what I saw on Dexter. There was a couple things in there that even he didn't do. Sheesh. Okay. I didn't know teeth don't burn, but that makes sense. That's okay.
Teeth can, you know, you have to get to a high degree to get that to burn. But also, like, if they have any dental work, like if they have metal fillings, that type of stuff shows up on an ME report, and that's how they're able to identify people through dental records. So.
But why does it matter if they're identified, if they're all burnt up?
So you can still tell who the person was.
Right, but that doesn't hurt the murderer.
Yeah, but it could. So let's say that they identify some person that I was beefing with publicly
two
weeks ago. And they was like, well, he was going back and forth with this person online, whoop-de-woo. So that makes me a person of interest because I might have been one of the last people this person engaged with in a negative way.
Here's what's fucked up. And I'm going to preface this with saying that this is fucked up. In a purely creative exercise, I'm going to be thinking about this all day. I'm going to be like, well, how would I kill somebody? Just for an exercise, clearly. But that was just like, God damn, I was thinking those a lot. How would I do it? Let's
bro, it just seems like it's so time consuming. And then you have to, like, my biggest outside of like all the work and then just not being able to live with that guilt. Now you have to live with the fear of being found out every day for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And you can't tell anyone. Because even if you killed the person for the better good, if you tell one person, it's likely that one person is going to tell another person. So you got to walk around with that for the rest of your life. That's heavy. That's a heavy lift, man. I don't want that.
Okay, I figured it out. Plan an extravagant dinner with all your friends and then the person you want to kill, right? Also be the chef. Poison that toast, right? The toast scene, poison, right? You host the dinner at a lavender farm. You bury said body that was poisoned under the lavender, right? The fields of lavender. No smell. Mm. No trace. Alibi. He was at the dinner.
Right. Okay. Pat, you're going to jail so fucking fast. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's so fucking fast. First of all,
halfway through I made it public.
No one is publicly inviting their enemy to anything just so they would have other witnesses around saying they squashed it, right? That's number one. Number two, if the person was last seen there, that's where they're going to start the investigation. Once they go through the fields of lavender, because they're going to see the disturbed dirt. The dirt that you're going to remove to plant him under or to put him there, you have to put that dirt back, and it's going to
all disturbed. Lavender.
Nah, they're gonna be able to tell. And then, okay, you're walking on this dirt, they're gonna be footprints. And even if you drag the body or you put it in a wheelbarrow, they're gonna be tracks from that. You're gonna have to literally go out there with the rake and remove the disturbed ground from the digging and from your walking and dragging or wheeling the body.
TNT on a dock. Okay, think about it like this. You put a bunch of TNT on a dock in a shed. You invite that guy boating. You guys are driving. He hits the ramp. You turn. He goes into the shed. Blows up. No one knows about him. They just think it was a boating accident.
Where are you going to buy this TNT?
Utah. I met a dude who blows up caves and mountains with TNT, and he says it's not that expensive.
It is not, I would imagine, if you know how to make it, right? But then that means you have to get the equipment or the ingredients for it. Now, when you get that those ingredients, you have to sign up, right? You have to sign up. So at some point, your name is going to be on a paper trail. and it's going to lead back to you. And you're not going to be good at making explosive on your first try, which means that you're going to have to reach out to somebody to get help. And when you get the help, now you've already told a person about your plan, even if you didn't tell them verbatim. Now you could YouTube it, right? YouTube it, like, you know, find anything on the internet. But now that's going to leave a paper trail on your computer. It shows that you look up how to make homemade explosions, how to make an explosion strong enough to blow up that. Bro, it's.
But they knew the explosion happened. They didn't know about him because he was blown to bits.
So you think that he's going to explode like a cartoon character and there's not going to be anything left of him? I just don't think it's going to work like that. I could be wrong, but I don't think it's going to work like that. I was thinking about this last week because I was watching cartoons. I love watching cartoons on Boomerang. And I was like, you know who should sue? Is Wile E. Coyote. He should have a class action suit against Acme. Because nothing they sent him worked like it was supposed to. It never did. He should get millions.
Yeah, how did they even... Do they have anything that worked? Is there any, like, episode where, like, he shoots a gun and the gun just goes off, you know?
This man fired a cannon one time at the Road One, and the cannon itself went backwards and the ball was just right there.
Yeah, I have a theory that he's the CEO of that company, and he's just using all the prototypes, and he can't sue because it's his company, so he's fucking it up.
I will say they had fast shipping service, man, because they was getting to this shit to him in the middle of the desert, like soon as he built it all.
CEO, that's what I'm saying. He had ties in that company. That's why he hasn't blown the whistle.
The Road Runner. They said, how did I say? They said, the Road Runner? Hey, man, listen.
That's how you said
do this with y'all.
I didn't hear it. Damn.
Yeah, man. The Road Runner. Hey, man, listen. I'm country and I don't care. I ain't going to make me feel bad. You guys are.
Road Runner.
I can't think of a word, but cut it out.
You just got an error.
You speech elitist.
Not helping your case. Yeah, he got an error. He was like, no, never mind.
Nah. I was trying to think of a word, like a word racist or a speech racist, but I couldn't put two words together fast enough. So I just
bah humbug. All right, we got time for one more.
One more, let's do it.
Okay, so I forget. Do you like cruise ships or nah?
Yes, overall. Been on a couple of them, but I've been on them as entertainment. I imagine being on them as a party goer would be a little different. Because as an entertainer, I have access to different things. I have access to everything where I would imagine certain things on a cruise, you have to pay to get certain. I don't know. I don't know how it works, honestly. Mm-hmm. And my quarters were different. So I don't know. But I do like partying for a week. I do like the buffet thing. I do like entertainment. So I would imagine it's fun. The only thing I don't like about cruises is that moment when you look out and it's only water around.
Right.
Like that moment is so humbling and scary. To show you how
by yourself
you are.
Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because even if there was land that was like within eyesight, it's comforting, but it's still like, I ain't about to swim over there. I'll be dead in like 20 minutes.
Man.
So there's a crazy scam going on right now. And it's pretty insane. So there's thousands of families that were left stranded with no place to stay because they sold and rented out their homes and they used that money to put a six-figure down payment to live on a ship for 3 years. So this is a company, it's called Life at Sea. Ooh. And apparently there was like it was the experience of a lifetime, 3 years traveling the world from the comfort of a cruise ship at prices that rivaled regular living expenses. So people were basically putting their
putting their houses up, putting down payment to live on the ship. And I guess it says the dream is over for passengers who'd signed up for Life at Sea cruises. They're supposed to go on an inaugural 3-year voyage. And after weeks of ghosting its customers, the company acknowledged to passengers that there was no ship. There was no ship. And it canceled the departure. And it's vowing to refund those who'd signed up for cruises costing up to hundreds of thousands of dollars. And all they really said was, "We are sorry." It says some of the passengers who booked some of these cabins sold are still in Istanbul and having made their way there ahead of the original departure date. Others say they will have nowhere to return to, having sold or rented out their homes in anticipation of the round the world voyage, as well as, they basically quit their jobs, sold their house. And not only is it not happening, there is no ship at all.
So
that's pretty wild.
I don't know the whole story, right? So I can just, I have questions though. Like when they went to the website, was there not a ship there that they were being told they were going to be on? I'm sure they probably had some stock photos or something like that. Like I need to know how much the ship cost. Our average ship, cruise ship costs about $496 million, right? That fits about 1,000 to 2,000 people. Well, $555 million fits between 2,000 and 3,000 people. But if we're going to be living here, that could include families or whatever. So realistically, I'm thinking something probably about $734 million. I need to see all the pictures. I need to see, I need to do a walkthrough. Because I ain't finna buy no home without doing no walkthrough.
Right.
So I'm like, when can we come check out the ship, baby? I need to see this.
Yeah, are you going to just see it for the first time the day of?
No.
And find out it's not up to your liking?
Man, I need to see everything, buddy. I want to see the blueprints. I want the blueprints framed so I can hang it on my new walls in my new house for the next 3 years. Nah, bro.
That's actually very crazy, because if you had people putting down six-figure deposits, everybody, and you didn't get the boat ain't even built, like, I'm trying to think, like, do you think that was a scam from the start, or do you think it was just something that happened where the money didn't come in on time and they just had to say,
I think they didn't have the money, unless they had, because, like, what company has the money outside of, you know, actual cruise ship companies has the money for a cruise ship? $500 million? $500 million. That's just the cost of the boat. We're not talking about food expenses. We're not talking about the crew, which you got to pay the crew. Mm-hmm. All of it, bro, insurance or something like that. And so if they had, I don't think they had enough money.
That's crazy. Because I remember we had a, I think it was on this show when we talked about that old couple who sold their house and they were just on a cruise ship. It wasn't like a cruise ship that was the point of the company was to live there. They were just jumping from cruise ship to cruise ship. And I think they were living like $100 a day between both of them. And that story went super viral. So it sounds like this company made that like a reality for a lot of people, theoretically.
All right, so if you got 2,000 people, right, that are paying $100,000, which probably isn't the case because probably at least half of those people are the spouse of the person that's paying. But let's just try, right? 2,000 people, and that's at $100,000, right? And that's just a guess of what they were paying. But that's only $200 million. That's not paying for the ship. So they had to either have investors or they were expecting there to be more money. They're like, bro, like,
right?
No.
Yeah, that's true. Because they were saying that it rivaled just regular living. So you selling your house for 3 years worth of housing. Yeah, and it was competitive prices. Like, yeah, it sounded like something that should have failed way before
I can't see me living like a moving house sounds good in theory, but like on water all the time. Like, I don't know, man. I know these some of these ships are amazing and they're like traveling cities, but like the water, is it going to be clean enough every time in the jacuzzi or the pool? How often are they cleaning this? The food, what if we have another COVID, right? And now remember when COVID first hit and people were coming back from cruise ships and they were being held on the cruise ships because they had to be quarantined? Because people were coming back with them. They trapped on this cruise. I think people were trapped on there for almost 2 months. Like,
it was docked?
Yeah, it was docked. But they weren't allowing them to dock. So they probably were out like how those ships were in Alaska. They were just in the water closer because nobody was accepting them. So it's like
that would drive me crazy. You're just looking at land and you can't get off. Your stuff is all done. That's because when you're done with the vacation, you're done. You know, you're just like, all right, for sure. I want to get in my own bed. I want to go back and just be on the coast of Long Beach. That would be trash. Yeah. I don't think I could live on a cruise ship. That sounds like it might be fun for like a month or something at the most. But 3 years is a huge commitment to not have seen it.
Like Terrence said, like you got to be, it has to be like a zombie apocalypse or something like that to make me want to stay on a cruise ship for 3 years.
Right.
Or I'm running from the law.
Damn.
When I'm running from the law, they ain't going to think to check no cruise ship. I'm here, baby. That would be the only way.
That'd be tough until a zombie. Okay. If no zombies are on board, can somebody die and turn into a zombie, or they would need to be bit by an actual zombie that was on land?
It depends on how people started becoming zombies. If it's airborne, it could get you. If it's in the water, it potentially can get you. If it's anything with biological warfare, it's a possibility that you could be affected or already infected.
Damn.
We don't know. Like, I was watching, man, I was so into The Walking Dead. And when they fucked everybody up because like people were dying and they would turn into zombies, but they were dying from natural causes. So not even getting bit. So no matter what, you were going to turn. And I fell off the series before I got to find out like how it actually happened and how it started. But if they figure that part out, bro, it's over for us. It's over.
Yeah, that would be a shitty place to be on a cruise with hella zombie outbreaks. You'd be like, all right, this did not work out.
Yeah, nah, man. No, I think I'll live in. I would rather live in a hotel than on a cruise ship.
Yeah, yeah. Facts. Yeah, that makes total sense. Some hotels be busting. They'd be like, "You ever stayed at a hotel that was so nice you went back to your spot and you was just like, damn." Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, damn, I miss room service.
I'm saying that hotels and resorts is like, nigga, I will sell dope here to figure out how to stay here.
Yeah, just sell dope to the crew consistently.
They we be docking. They going to get food and shit. I'm going to pick up new drug supplies. Let's just get this going right here. This is what I need. I don't want to go back.
That's a crazy ass story, man. That's some people are just literally homeless in Istanbul, and it says they were supposed to depart on November 1st. So.
Ugh.
That's kind of crazy to wait November 1st of what year? This year? How did I got the ship and they were supposed to go last month?
Man, better go over to Italy. They selling them houses for $1.
I heard about that.
Yeah, I follow a couple pages on Instagram. The chick be following the going in the houses and stuff like that. Like this one you can get for $1. It's probably going to take, you know, $10,000, $20,000 of renovations, but the country gonna pay you to live there, and they're selling the houses for mad cheap, man. Mm-hmm. Shit, I'll be over there eating the freshest mozzarella.
Shit, I mean, you already homeless. You might as well.
You got a roof, baby boy.
some people are probably gonna twist that experience into like a cool life. They're just like, now we in Turkey with nowhere to go. Let's just
pivot, baby.
Yep.
Let me see what that pivot game like, man. Well, that is it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for watching and listening to another episode. Hope you guys had a fantastic time with us as we did with you as always. Shout out to Uncommon Goods for sponsoring this episode. Shout out to the More Mob Scary Squad and everybody that's watching it. Rewatch gang. Thank y'all. We appreciate you pulling up. As always, I'm To Hear More.
I'm Patrick Cloud.
We'll see you next time on the next episode of Damn Internet, You Scary.
Thanks for pulling up.